3 months in, we're in the middle of a series called, what's our theme for the year? Does anyone remember? Come on. And there's a key scripture that we've based this theme around. It's in Acts 2:42. I'll just read it out real quick. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Okay, basically what that means is that we're devoted to prayer. Us as Christians, we're devoted to prayer. We're devoted to the Word, reading the Bible, and we're devoted to God's people. Now, here's what I found, and you'll see this as I kind of unpack what I want to talk about tonight, but it's not one or the other, okay? It's not, I'm just going to be devoted to prayer, but I'm not going to be in the Word. I'm not just going to be devoted to people, but I'm not going to pray for them. Okay, so here's the powerful thing, and you'll see this as I unpack this message tonight. When you understand the Word, when you're in the Word, your prayers actually get more powerful. Because how much better is it to speak God's Word instead of our own? That's the power of knowing Scripture in prayer. In the same way, we got to know what's going on in people's lives so we can actually pray effectively for them. So we got to hang out, we got to care for people, we got to know what's going on. And then when you're in the Word, you know what happens? God actually opens the Word up, gives you a verse for someone, and you can pass that along. That's what caring for God's people is all about. So they're intertwined, and we're going to unpack them over the coming few weeks. But tonight, I want to talk about prayer. I love this house, C3 Powerhouse. It's a house of prayer. And thank you, Pastor John and Dan, for really making it a focus. It's a key value of ours, prayer, that we're a praying church. And that's why we're doing what's coming up. We've already talked about it. We've got a 10-day prayer and fast coming up. Who's excited for that? Come on. I've seen some powerful things shift in a fast. And you know what? To let you in on a bit of a secret, today I actually had lamb for lunch. It was very biblical. It was a sacrificial lamb before the fast. Some might say it was my last supper. Come on. That's all right, isn't it? So we had lamb before the fast. But let me tell you about the fast, okay? If you haven't heard about this before, what we do as a church, we fast either one time for 20 days, or this year we're doing 2 10-day fasts, and one is starting tomorrow. The details are up here. We're going to start on the 4th to the 13th. If you haven't fasted before, we really want to encourage you to do the Daniel fast. Now, you can scan in that QR code here, and that'll tell you a little bit more about what the Daniel fast is. In short, it's literally you're cutting your carbs, you're cutting your meats, you're cutting all the good stuff, your sugars, and you have juices and vegetables. That's what it is. You may as well do a water fast. It's easier. No, but if you've got a medical condition, don't feel like this is a religious thing. It's just something that we do to press in because it helps us get closer to God. So we spend that time, instead of preparing meals, we spend that time praying. We see God. When we dethrone King's stomach, the pleasures of our lives, the things that we want, when we seek God's kingdom first, He starts to move and reveal things. So it's going to be powerful. There's going to be a night of worship I want to invite you to as well. Because here's the thing, and what I've learned over the years. We can have these fasts. We can have nights of worship, revival, prayers. But if we don't engage, they're for nothing. It's just a nice thing that we do. So I want to encourage us, hey, let's engage in this fast. Are you ready to engage these next 10 days? Come on. All right. So there's power of praying together. I've seen that. On your own, but also corporately. You see, in this church over the last 10, 12 years, Marina and I, we've seen God unlock a house for us when there was no way that we should have been in a house. We were in a mountain of debt, miraculously turned around in a short amount of time when we prayed in the very house that we were in. I've seen people that we've prayed for years give their hearts to God right here on this altar. Prayers work when you pray corporately. Where two or three agree on anything, in my Father's name, it'll be done by me, by my Father in heaven. There's power in praying together. And if we're talking business, literally, and I'll show you how I've done this through prayer and how God's taught me to pray. We've literally prayed in, if I look back over the years, millions of dollars in sales that I should have never had. Wow. but because God gave me pictures, he gave me a revelation in prayer. He's like, I actually want you to have that because I delight in your prosperity, David. That's what he says. He's a good father. He's a good father. So I want to kind of unpack that. But before I do, my prayer life hasn't always been that way. Okay? I've had unanswered prayers. I remember when I was a kid. I was only 5 years old. My family and I, we prayed for our dad to get healed. 3 years. Every night. It was like, God, heal my dad. Heal my dad. 3 years. We prayed that every night. I remember he was sitting at his bed for 3 years. And he passed away. Prayers unanswered. That actually deterred me from praying altogether for a very long time. After that, we moved to Australia. And we joined a church that they put a big focus on what's called liturgy. And if you know what liturgy is, in the simplest form, it's prayers written in a book. And then as a church, you just kind of recite them. So my prayer, I was already not engaged in prayer because of past history, past experience. And then on top of that, it was this tradition of just, hey, let's just read these prayers out. So for me, prayer just became lip service. Yeah. It was just a recital of these nice words. And the prayers were awesome. They're great prayers. But for me, they just didn't come alive. But it was, I remember it distinctly. I remember it. It was a morning prayer meeting right here. And it was our Pathfinders prayer meeting. And this is what I want to share out of tonight. Literally, everything that I was carrying, it was like it was broken off me. And a new burden to pray came upon me. A burden to see God's kingdom come, to start interceding for people. And you know how it happened? It was really simple. I'm going to hopefully do justice to what was done for me back then. It was Pastor John breaking down the Lord's Prayer like I've never experienced before. And I want to do that tonight as well, because I believe understanding how to pray and how to have a structure, a framework, it just breaks things open. It's not a recital. It's not a script. It's the way that Jesus taught us to pray. But because my mind was, a second I hear the word hallowed or something like that, my mind just went blank and I didn't engage. So when Pastor John broke it down that way, which I want to do tonight as well, everything changed. And I believe it's going to happen for us here tonight as well. Is that good? Come on. It's the single most powerful teaching that I ever received on prayer. It changed my life. Cool, cool. Before we get into it, that is one aspect of my prayer life, okay? It's more kind of the intercessory prayer life. So the way that I like to structure my prayer life is in three thirds, okay? So speaking in tongues, very powerful, very important. I'm not going to be speaking about that tonight. Receiving the Father's love. You should have seen me before I learned about this. My prayers were a full hour of power. And Pastor John asked me to lead a prayer meeting one time, and afterwards he's like, "Dear David, have you thought about actually receiving from God and receiving his love?" I'm like, good point. But I'm going to show you how to pray powerful prayers. But I've just got these two resources because I won't have time to go through all of it. But each of them are just as important in your prayer life, okay? So it's number one, keys to power, speaking in tongues. And number two, learning to receive our Heavenly Father's love. Love it. Key resources. Get your phones out. Like, this is the stuff that changed my prayer life. Yeah. Take a photo and then check it out later on. So what I want to talk about tonight is a little bit more intercessory prayer and seeing God moves in our spheres, okay? So my main scripture for tonight is this. It's in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. And this is what it says. This is Jesus speaking. "This then is how you should pray." Jesus is telling us this is how we should pray. And he goes, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, as I said, if I saw that 12, 13 years ago, my eyes would have gone blank and I would have just recited that verse off by heart. Nothing behind it. But you know what? I got a fresh revelation when this was opened up to me that hallowed be your name. That means we're praying to God who is holy, who is blameless. He's sacred. He's pure. I can feel it even as I'm saying those words. It just changes the atmosphere when you actually acknowledge who you're praying to. Hallowed be your name. So rather than starting your prayer time with, hey, God, can you do this? Can you do this? Jesus is telling us here, how about you just worship God? How about you shift your focus for a minute from all the things that are going on in your life and the things that you want to worshiping Him? You focus from me, me, me to focus on Him. That's the big shift here. That prayer should actually be first to worship God. That's what we're created for, to worship and praise God. So it shifts your focus. And there's three things that I do to help me shift that. Would you like to know what they are?
Yes, tell us.
All right. The first thing that I do, I recite atmosphere shifting scriptures. Okay? These are powerful. One of them is in Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am, oh, I can feel it even right now. I am who I am, says the Lord. He is the great I am. When I read that in my quiet time, it's like something powerful came over me. And I knew this scripture is loaded. I knew this scripture I want to be holding on to and praying. So the first thing I encourage you to do, when you do your quiet time and you read, look for atmosphere-changing scriptures, atmosphere-shifting scriptures. Another one is in Psalms, and it's super simple. And it says this, Psalm 40, verse 16, the Lord is great. It's so simple. But man, when I read that the first time and the Spirit came upon me, it was like, whoa, He is great. He is almighty. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. He created all things in 6 days. The Lord is great. Can you feel the atmosphere shifting by just acknowledging who He is? Making His name holy? That's the first thing. Atmosphere shifting scriptures. And then like I just did, I declare who God is. He's the God that created all things. Heaven and earth are His, the Bible says. He parted the Red Sea. He sprang water from a rock. He provided food from the sky. That's who we're worshiping. That's who God is. When you start acknowledging Him, when you start remembering all the things He's done, something changes. Your focus changes from just being on you to being on Him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I did something naughty there. I kind of went to hallowed be your name. I opened that up first. And then in my quiet time, I actually go to our Father in heaven next. So I switched them over. Is that all right? I think God will be all right with that. But the third thing that I do in that first stance is I receive the Father's love. It's so important. And you know the powerful thing here is when we worship God, when we start to declare who He is, when we start worshiping Him, He wants to pour out His love. It's like a two-way relationship. It's not just us praising, 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 and then we don't get anything in return. Then the Father's like, David, I've been waiting for you all morning. Let me just tell you how much I love you. I created you fearfully and wonderfully in my image. I knew you before you were even born in your mother's womb. I had plans for you, plans to prosper, plans for a hope and for a future. I declare I am statements that God says over me. See how this is shifting? I haven't even started to try and tell God I need this and I need that in my life. It's just a relationship building exercise. Yeah. It's so powerful. It changed my prayer life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's all about shifting the focus from us to Him. Really powerful way. That's the way that I start my prayer time. Okay? Next stance, Jesus says this in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, once I really took a hold of this, Pastor Dan kind of touched on it earlier on. It's the fact that God has a plan for each one of us here. It's not like He just has a plan for Pastor John and Dan to build a church, for Jay and Katrina to have an awesome business, for our ministers here to minister. He's got a plan for every single person here in this room. And He cares for you. And as Pastor Dan said earlier on, everything in heaven, because of what Jesus did on the cross, has been made available to us. Every blessing, every resource, you got to get your head around this. Every resource, all the gold, all the silver here on earth has been made available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And what this verse means, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's actually a call for us to take a hold of that.
Yeah.
It's saying, everything that's available for you in the kingdom, everything that's available for you in heaven, I want you to pray that in. That's how we pray in God's kingdom here on earth. Okay? Is this making sense? It's so powerful. So what is that? Because Jesus said it multiple times. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Again, truly I tell you that if two or three agree on anything in my name, my Father in heaven shall give it to you. Jesus just repeatedly said this. It's all available for you because what I'm about to do and what he has done for us, looking backwards. So what does that mean? That's all good. It's like, okay, we've got a revelation. Anything and all things are available for us.
Yeah.
But what are they? So what are the things that you should pray for? Well, for me, the first thing I pray for is my family. That's my first ministry. Okay, so you want to pray for the things, your spheres of influence, okay? The people that you actually have connection with, the people that God's given you.
Yeah.
That's his kingdom praying in. You don't have to pray for someone overseas if God hasn't said that. He's given you enough people in your vicinity, in your sphere of influence. And the number one thing for me is my family. So the verse that I pray over my family is this, 3 John 1 verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So I pray this verse every day. I pray that we would prosper, that my marriage would prosper, that my house would prosper. I pray that my family would be in good health. Even as your soul prospers. This is one of those, how can I put it? Like, it didn't make sense to me back then what this actually meant. But you know what it means? Our soul prospering is just us getting a closer relationship with Jesus every day. So that's what I pray. And I pray this over my wife and I, that our marriage would prosper, that we would prosper in our relationship, in our knowledge of God. And I pray this over my children. I pray that they would be Bible reading children. I pray that they would be children who pray. I pray that they would be children who have a relationship with God from a young age. Those are the three key things. I don't know how many times I've prayed them over the last 8 years, but you know what? Prayer works. I'm up here telling you that I haven't seen prayer work in my early life, and now I'm saying it does. It does when the Holy Spirit's involved and when you actually pray the prayers that God's put on your heart. Here's what I've seen. My little girl, Isla, just going to hold this together real quick. All the fathers in the house would probably know. Together we wrote out Psalm 23. And every time she gets scared at nighttime, she reads that psalm and it calms her down. I pray, God, that there would be Bible reading children. 8 years I've prayed that prayer and I'm seeing it come to pass. She's in the Word. The Word's getting into her. That's powerful stuff. That's the power of prayer. Every day digging in for your children. I see my son Noah. When I read my Bible at home, he'll grab his Bible and he wants to read it as well. And he goes, what's my psalm? So we've chosen a psalm for him as well. And then I got my youngest. He's only, at the time, I think he was 3 or 4. And he loves worship. I pray that there would be children who have a relationship with you. He loves worshiping God. And he sang this song, God, You're So Good. It's an old hymn, but it's been redone. And the actual words go like this. God, You're So Good. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. And then Ari goes, God, You're So Good. And then he launches in, I am left. I am right. I keep on moving. He may have gotten the words wrong, but you know what? His heart was engaged. God doesn't look at the words that you say in your prayers. He looks at the heart behind those words. That's the power of praying God's kingdom. When God puts a burden on your heart, we're going to pray that for people later on. When he puts a burden on you, you start just going for it. It doesn't matter what you say or how you say it, as long as they are to him and your heart's behind them, that's where the power is. So we pray for our spheres. I pray for my family. I pray for leaders, those that lead me, and then those that I get to lead here at church as well. I pray for salvation of friends and family. Can I encourage you? Yes. One of the prayer points for the fast is that people would come to our Easter services. Pastor John called it the Super Bowl of Christianity because so many people come to church and it's actually a reason for them to come. Can I encourage us, when you pray, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, start visualizing your friends walking through those doors. I do that all the time. I see my friends walking in through that gate. I call them through the doors. I see them on the altar. I see them raising their hands. Start calling them in. Because Easter's going to be awesome. Can we get that slide up really quickly, please? So our Easter service, this is what you should tell your friends, okay? When you're speaking to them, let them know. It's going to come up in a minute. I'll tell you anyway. There's going to be free coffee. There's going to be hot cross buns. There's going to be craft for the kids. That's on Good Friday. Then on Sunday, there's going to be a giant Easter egg hunt, inflatable balloon house, jumping castles, free slushies for everyone. How good is that? That's what you should tell your friends. They'll love it. But you know what's going to make them turn up right here? Your prayers. You praying them in. You calling out. I see Nick. I see Anna. I see Sanjay. Those are the names that I pray for every morning. And I call them in because that's what I know holds power. God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. There is power in your praise. Can I get an amen? Come on. There's power in your prayers. We got to call these people in, our friends, our family. Get a picture for them. If they're not coming here, if they're not meeting Jesus in this lifetime, where are they going? That's why Jesus said, I want you to pray them in. I want you to pray that my kingdom would come so what I did at the cross wouldn't be wasted. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. In verse 11, Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread. What does that mean? That we should have food in our fridge? That's literally what I thought. It's like, okay, it's food. And I was half right. For me, what it means now is that the word would come alive for me. And I pray that, God, I pray that today when I read my Bible, Holy Spirit, that you would open the word up for me, for particularly for me, for what I need today, fresh manna today, fresh bread for my day today. And then the other thing I pray for is provision. And that's fine. That's a good thing. We should ask God for provision. That's one of his names, Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. We should ask him for provision. So here's, again, I've got kind of a system that I've worked out over the last few years, but here's how I pray for my daily bread when I'm talking about provision. Number one, I declare God's promises. I don't know how many times I've said this. You've got to get the Bible inside of you because here's how I pray. I pray, Father God, I thank you that you delight in my prosperity. I thank you that your word says, give and it'll be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Your word says, honor me with the first fruits of all of your increase and your barns will be filled with plenty. Provision, your vats will overflow with new wine, I think, cash flow coming in. If you've been believing for finances, you got to start praying them in and using God's promises to pray them in. I say, God, I thank you that you delight in my prosperity. God actually created us for a reason. And if you feel in your heart that he's created you to create, to get kingdom finances, to get finances from the world, to build his kingdom, pray it in. Pray it in. If you're struggling, then this is the verses that I used to say when we were still in debt. I am not a slave to the lender. God's created me fearfully and wonderfully in his image. You know what that means? That I am royalty and that all resources in heaven are available to me. Come on. This is what happens here is it builds faith. We've just been in a faith season. We've done a whole series on it. Reciting scripture when you're praying for provision, builds faith. So I pray for exactly what I need. We did goals at the start of the year. I pray for the goals. God, I pray for this amount of money so we can go overseas to holidays next year because you delight in my prosperity, Father God. I pray over my profit and loss statement. I literally look at it and I say, here's what you've said. Here's the promise you've given me, and I pray that money in. If you're believing for a promotion, start seeing it. Start praying it in. Start claiming it. Because God delights in your prosperity. And he's calling you to pray it in. Give us today our daily bread. I want to show you a real quick story around this. So I run this prayer group. It's at 5 in the morning, and I had a whole bunch of young guys. I think at the time, Nick Hickman, he's awesome. He's a leader in our church. Solid guy. He's been in this church for, what, 20 years now?
Thereabouts.
Yeah, this was about 6 years ago, and we were praying this part of the Lord's Prayer in my prayer group. And I go, okay, let's pray for provision. And Nick's like, oh, yeah, I'd like a new job. I'm like, okay. That's not very specific. Do you want to work for Macca's? Do you want to be a garbage man? Well, what's your job? How much do you want to earn? He goes, I don't know. I'm like, okay, let's believe for $1,000 a week. So we started declaring, God, I pray for Nick to have a job. It is your will that he has a job so he can continue to do the work here at church. We're aligning our will with his will. And we pray for $1,000 a week in income. Nick rings me a few weeks later and he goes, Dave, I got that job. I'm like, that's awesome. And he goes, yeah, no, that's not the best part. I get paid fortnightly. My first paycheck was $2,000. $1,000 a week. Come on, let's give God some praise. That's a true story. I don't lie. That's God getting involved in our lives. That's us praying in his kingdom in our world. Verse 12 says this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. Oh, sorry, forgive our debtors. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Each morning I pray, lead me not into temptation, because I know the devil will try and get me off course. So pray protection over your day, daily. I pray that I would not be tempted. Deliver me from the evil one. Protect me from the enemy. Protect my house, my family. I just want to circle back this verse 12. That's the Lord's Prayer. Some translations also including his kingdom, his power, and his glory is his forever and ever. And that's a great way to finish. It's the full circle back to God. What I've learned is that the Lord's Prayer is actually a representation of the four Gospels. And that's why this verse 12, in some translations, is as this, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive others, is so important to pray daily. Forgive us our sins daily. Because we stuff up daily. We've got to remember that. Here's a revelation that I got just recently when I had why do I pray this? And can I just read it out? Is that all right? Just so I get the words right. My prayer time is a declaration each day that I am a broken vessel in need of a Savior. Each day my prayers signify that I am weak and cannot do life in my own strength. Like I say, I pray these big faith prayers, but this is where the rubber meets the road. I can't do it in my own strength. Forgive me my sin if I thought that, Lord. My prayer time is a desperate cry for God's grace over my life, to repent and to ask for forgiveness each day. I pray because I'm a broken vessel. God wants to restore each day. In my weakness, he makes me strong. Can we close our eyes?